Boy, that was weak. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. Appreciate you all taking time out this morning. I guess you really didn't have a choice, so you had to come here, but I appreciate you coming here this morning. Real quickly, my name is Dwayne, and I oversee Carol Douglas and Hurd for West Georgia Right to Life. Dwayne Hack, H-A-C-K. I've got three counties, Carol County, Douglas County, and Hurd County for Georgia Right to Life. And Georgia Right to Life, what we do is we get information out about right to life issues. And not just abortion, although that's a major part of what we may talk about today. But as I've gotten older now, I'm 54, and as I'm getting older now, I start thinking about my end of life. And so when you hear about right to life, you've seen the signs around Carroll County and Douglas that said vote pro-life. Those are signs that we put out. I think we even put a couple out here on 27, right near you guys as well. But we think about life issues, and not just from abortion side, which is important, but we also talk about life issues, end of life as well. And then what about that little child who has Down syndrome? Shouldn't that child have an opportunity to live? Amen? Sure they should, shouldn't they? What about your grandparents who might have high blood pressure or diabetes? Shouldn't they have a right to live? Sure they should. So see, right to life isn't just about abortion, but it's about end of life as well. And it's about giving those individuals life. I appreciate the staff here and Brother Greg and all the teachers for teaching you all biblical principles through education. My daughter and my son graduated from Kingsway several years ago. And let me tell you something. You guys stand with each other and help each other out and support each other. And you're going to hear people say, as you grow up, going to a private school, people are going to say to you, you know what? You went to a private school and you went to a Christian school and you're not getting the education you need. How many of y'all might have heard that from people? Y'all heard that? Let me tell you something. Don't listen to that, because that's a bunch of garbage. And let me tell you why. Because my daughter graduated Kingsway. She went to Pensacola Christian. She was cum summa laude at West Georgia College, University of West Georgia. She got her master's at the University of West Georgia. She's now getting her second master's from Georgia State. And she'll be working on getting her doctorate from Georgia State and going to the CDC, working at the CDC. All because she started off in just a private Christian school. And people are going to tell you, well, you don't have the education you need to be able to further your advancement in your career, whatever that may be. That's garbage, okay? Don't listen to that. Don't drag on to that analogy, because it's not true. You can go as far as the Lord wants you to go in your life. So support each other, though. You're always going to have to help each other and support each other. I told them, I go to Liberty Baptist Church out in Bowden. And I'll try not to drag too much before I get into what I want to leave you guys today. But I told them Sunday at church, this past Sunday, I said, you got to support each other. You got to help each other. When I talk to my daughter and my son, some of the best times when they look back now are the times they spent in school, in high school. Because right now you're building relationships that it's going to be hard to break. On the baseball team, on the basketball team, the football team, I saw a couple of your football games, great team, good team. Been a couple of you're building relationships now that when you get Brother Greg at my age, you're going to look back and say, wow, that was cool. And you know what? You can only do that by supporting and helping each other. You'll probably cry together. You'll probably lose some tough baseball games or football games, but you'll develop that relationship to go further in your lives. Every year we have a little outing that we take as a family, and we go up to this place called Fort Mountain. It's up in North Georgia. I don't know if any of y'all ever hear of Fort Mountain. I know Heather and Allison probably have. We've been there before. But there's this place called Fort Mountain, and it's way up in North Georgia. And it's about 3 hours from here, almost on the Tennessee line. And every year we go up there as a family outing, and we all cut up driving up there and have a good time and just kind of build our family bond together. And it's way up there. Man, it's probably close to a mile from the time you start at the bottom of the mountain and you climb up to the top of it. It's about a mile, I imagine. But it's not just a straight mile. It's not coming out of your parking lot and heading north on Highway 27 and going a mile. It's through little tight passes. It's climbing rocks. And there's at times we got to help each other out. When you're climbing up those rocks, and my mother-in-law's in, you know, mid-60s, my father-in-law's late 60s, I'm 50s, and you got to help each other out. And every now and then somebody slips and falls, and you got to grab their hand and pull them back up. Or it got cold one year. I remember going up there, and I mean, it was almost snowing. It was so cold up there. It was really cool. And it got cold, and we just kind of had to stop sometimes when you're taking this travel up there, and you got to rest sometimes. You might stub a toe, you might fall down and bruise a knee, but you're helping each other up to the top. And what's so cool is when you get to the top of Fort Mountain, you get up there and you walk up probably about 100 stairs, I guess, Heather, 100 stairs you got to climb up. And you get to the top and you step out on a balcony. And when you finally get to that balcony and look out, you can see Tennessee. You can see back behind where you're at in Georgia. They say you can see three states from the top of Fort Mountain. It's worth the travel, climbing up those stairs and bumping your knees and helping each other. Why? Because the picture is so beautiful. When you see God's tapestry and the artwork that He performed, when you look at top of that mountain, look into Tennessee, it's beautiful. This is part of your travel right now. This is part of your journey. You may not think it right now. I know it's hard when you're a sixth grader, seventh grader, high schooler, saying, man, I can't wait till I get out of school because I'm going to go get me a job. How many of y'all said that? Boy, how many of y'all said that? I can't wait to get out of school. No more school. I'm going to get me a job and get me big old tires on my car. Da, 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 da. Now, that you're going through the best part of your life right now. You may not understand some things, and your parents come down on you, but this is the best part of your life right now, so enjoy it. But build that relationship one-on-one with your buds. And girls, with those other girls, build a relationship because it's so important. It's so important. So let me get to where I'm going. West Georgia Right to Life, I already told you about that, what we do. I'm not going to get into maybe as much preaching as I want to get into teaching, because I think it's so important for you to know what's going on. Because like I said before, you've heard the pro-life and you've seen pro-life signs, and you've probably seen it on billboards, Vote Life, stuff we've tried to put up in the county to let you guys be aware of it. But I really want to teach you some more than maybe just preach to you, because I want you to maybe get one or two things in your heart that you can take with you next month, next year, 5 years from now. You go back and said, oh, I remember that fat, bald preacher out there at Holy Ground that one time when he talked to us about pro-life stuff, and maybe something said today will help you down the road somewhere when you got to make a tough choice decision. You're getting to that age, and I won't be too deep and grammatic, but you're going to be making some tough decisions in the next several years, and you're going to be challenged because Satan's going to throw stuff at you to challenge you, to say, you know, that boy really loves me, and I want to know that boy better, and you're going to have to make some tough calls and tough decisions, and you're going to have to put your stake in the ground and say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that with you, and that's all I'm going to leave it at right there. But I want to show you that, because for every choice we make, and I told my kids that when we were growing up, for every choice that you make in life, whatever that choice is, there are consequences to that choice. There's a consequence to every choice you make. Every choice you make, there's a consequence to it. And I want you to understand that and realize that. Okay, what's so important about this coming Friday, December the 7th? Who can tell me? Ooh, I'm going to challenge you. See how well you know your history. Yes, sir. Thank you. You win the prize. I don't know what the prize is, but you win the prize. Pearl Harbor. How many of y'all have heard of Pearl Harbor, haven't you? December the 8th, 1941. I'm sorry, got the wrong day here. I thought it was December 7th. December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. It was the attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor, December the 7th. I believe it says this Friday. And President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, this is what he said. He said, yesterday, on December the 8th, he said this. He said, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, is a date which will live in infamy. President, remember him? He was in a wheelchair? Remember he was in a wheelchair? And that December the 8th, he said that. A day to live in infamy. America lost her innocence. And war had been declared. We were an innocent country up to that point. But now all of a sudden somebody attacked our borders, just like if I asked you, what were you doing on 9/11? Some of y'all might not have been born. I guess some of y'all might have been born. Yeah, most of y'all have been born, I guess. What were you doing? Who could tell me? What were you doing on 9/11 that day? Where were y'all at? Anybody? What were you doing? Reading a book, first grade. How many of y'all can remember? What were you doing? At your birthday party. At your birthday party. What about Greg? What were you doing? A day that will live in infamy. We'll always go back. I know I work for Flowers Bakery, and I remember I was up in Tucker, Georgia. That's one of our offices at. And my wife, we were living in Douglasville. We were doing a remodel on our home. And on that morning, she called me. We didn't have text during that time. But she called me and said, "You're not going to believe it, but there was a plane that just crashed into one of the Twin Towers." And they're saying that it probably just got off course, and nobody's really not sure what's going on. And we had five or six people working at our house that day doing the reconstruction. And all of a sudden, they said they all came around the TV and watched. And I'm talking to my wife, and she said, "Dwayne, you're not going to believe this. There's a second plane heading towards one of the towers. How can two planes be off course that much?" And then there was silence for several seconds. She said, "It just hit the other building." And it's always a point that you go back to in your life. I had to drive to Atlanta. Once I left Tucker, I had to go drop off some stuff for Arby's in downtown Atlanta. And we make the Arby's onion buns for them. And so I pulled into the place I was supposed to deliver it. And when I came in the front door, everybody was standing around televisions. At this point, the first plane, I think, hit at like 9:15, 9:17. The second plane hit like 9:20, 9:25. I had already got down to Atlanta sometime around 11:30. And when I came in the door with this tray of onion buns, I looked in and people were standing all around the television. And they said, "You're not going to believe this, but another plane just flew into the Pentagon." And my wife called me. Back then it was a bigger phone. It's not like we got now, which is like this big with an antenna and all that stuff. But she called me and said, "Over at Kingsway, they're telling the kids to stay in their room. Don't even go outside, because if you know where Kingsway's at, that's one of the landing flights that fly into Atlanta Hartsfield International Airport." And they said, "They're not even letting the kids leave Kingsway. They're locked in. They don't want them to leave." There was so much fear, so much panic going on that day on 9/11. And as we're a little bit older, and as some of y'all mentioned, you'll always go back to a place or to a point that you'll say to yourself, "What was I doing when such and such happened?" That's exactly what happened on 9/11, and that's exactly, I would think, if you can get into the minds and hearts of some of these people during Pearl Harbor, they would say the same thing, that we lost our innocence. I can remember when I had to fly out. I fly out several times, and I can remember when I flew out the next week later coming out of Atlanta. I mean, I remember walking into the airport, and there was these National Guards and Army guys with M160s and Uzis and everything else there at security. I mean, they were checking everybody going through there. It was mass chaos. It was panic during that period of time. You'll always go back to a spot, what happens when. And that's a spot, January 22nd, 1973. How many of y'all have heard of Roe v. Wade? Roe v. Wade, you see it a lot of times. January 22nd, 1973 is one of those dates that you go back to, what happened when. Roe v. Wade was a court decision that legalized abortion. Basically, it said a woman has the right to destroy and kill that baby in her stomach. January 22nd, 1973. It's a day just like happened in December the 7th, just like what happened on 9/11/2001. January 22nd, 1973 will be a day that lives in infamy when it comes to the baby in the womb. Do you know where the most, I call it, where the most unsafe place now in America is? Where do you think the most unsafe place to live in America is? It's in the stomach of a mother that's carrying a baby. It's in the womb. Because now that mother has the right to kill that baby from the day of conception all the way to the point where that baby can be born. And I'm not going to get into it too deep with you, okay? And it's one of the questions I'm going to ask you later. But right now, that baby can have an abortion. That mother can have an abortion on that baby from the time it's conceived up to the last second before it's born, even to the point where that baby's partially born. Not going to get graphic, but partial birth abortion, what that is that baby can be aborted just as it's passing through the birth canal. And there's two ways, either with scissors through the skull, where they get into the brain of the baby, or they put a salt solution into the mother and pickle the baby before it's born. And I won't get any more graphic, but that's legal. Now, I'm not talking about China, and I'm not talking about India, and I'm not talking about Ghana, South Africa. I'm talking about Georgia, United States of America. Now, last year we passed a law, and what Georgia Right to Life does too is we work real close with our legislators to pass laws against abortion and save pro-life. And last year, we worked real hard with a lot of legislators who passed a law that says at 20 weeks, you can no longer have an abortion on a baby. So at 20-week stage, called gestation, a baby can no longer be aborted past 20 weeks. Because at that point, scientific studies have proved over and over and over again that that baby at 20 weeks feels pain three times as much as an adult. So if I was to go and take a pin and prick your finger right now, it would hurt a little bit, wouldn't it? If I was to put it in there and turn it a little bit, it would hurt even more. Well, that baby feels that pain three times as much as if I would have done it to you. And so we were able to pass that law that says at 20 weeks and up, you can no longer have an abortion in Georgia. But there's states within the country that allow you to have an abortion, just like I told you, up to the last second, even to the point where that baby's partially born. And that's what's called partial birth abortion. Some of you older kids, you guys, I'm sure, are internet savvy. You can Google that and look, and it'll show that. It'll show what partial birth abortion is. It's a terrible thing. And that's not just in, I'm not talking about some third world country. I'm talking about America here. So let me move on real quickly. Roe v. Wade, I already told you about that. So now you know, I think it was five or six of you that raised your hand, what Roe v. Wade is. Roe v. Wade was in 1973 the law that allowed a woman to have an abortion. But there was another one that came after that, right after that, and it's called Doe versus Bolton. And what Doe versus Bolton did, it said this: yes, Mrs. H., you can have an abortion, and you know what? You can have it all 9 months of pregnancy. And that's what opened up the door to this partial birth abortion. And so two laws, Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. America's lost her innocence. War had now been declared on the unborn child. And that's what we see going on today. Back in Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 41, there were 2,400 people killed during that period of time. That's people in the military. That was people that were civilians. Those were individuals that were on the ground, working in the army or working as contractors for the military. 2,400 people were killed. Since 1973, and again, we don't have specific numbers because all we have are numbers that are given to us by the CDC. A lot of states don't report those numbers to the CDC. Since 1973, to the best of our knowledge, if we want to take a guess, how many babies that might have been aborted? Some of y'all picked up the information, so you probably cheated a little bit. Since 1973, how many babies have been aborted? Someone take a guess? Very good. 53 million. 53 million babies. Come around January sometime, the number is going to be about 55 million since 1973. Now, let me put that in perspective, because I know that's a big number, and you say, well, what does that number mean? How many of y'all good in geography? How many of y'all good in geography? How many of y'all, United States geography? Anybody? Okay, ready in your mind. Picture this. Think about the southeastern United States, okay? Louisiana, you got it? What's the next state? Mississippi. Then comes Alabama. We go a little bit of north of that. Go Tennessee, very good. Then come across and go Kentucky, okay? And then you got Virginia, West Virginia. Then come on down, North Carolina. Come on down, South Carolina. Come on down, Georgia. You got that picture in your mind? All those states? You got that? I'll draw that little map for you. You got it? How many of y'all got it? Okay, ready? Wipe it off the map. It's no longer there. That part of the country is not even there anymore. That's how many babies have been aborted since 1973. How many Charles Spurgeons could there have been? How many Pastor Reynolds could there have been? How many people? There could have been an individual that found a cure for cancer during that period of time. A young preacher during that period of time. That could have been the great missionary to Africa or China or Australia during that period of time had been gone. Does that put it in a different perspective when you wipe that part of the country off the map? Sure it does. That's how many babies have been aborted since 1973. And they're saying in January, the 22nd of January 2013, they're anticipating that number is going to be close to 55 million babies aborted since 1973. America is no longer a country of moral rights. America has turned the direction. I think God's put up a blinder, and I'm not going to get into it now right now, but God's put up a blinder to America. And I'm going to show you that in a little bit. It's not just a political issue anymore. I wrote a column and an editorial in the Times Georgian here about a month or two ago. It's no longer political anymore. It's a moral issue. Politics has gotten out of the way. Now it's a moral issue because it's something that affects each and every one of us individually. If you got your Bible, which I hope you do, I want you to look at some verses and show you how it's a biblical issue. It's not just political. And it's moral, but it's biblical in its basis. And look at Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I want to show you how it's got its roots in biblical teachings. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Y'all there? You there? Ready? Here I go. A verse of scripture that we use a lot in the pro-life movement is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Look at that word. I don't know if you write in your Bible. I do. I don't think there's anything wrong with writing in your Bible. But I put notes. A lot of times if I hear preachers come in and preach or if I'm in a Sunday school lesson and something really strikes my heart, I'll write it in the side of my columns here, in my Bible right here. So I'll understand basically what was going on, and I'll even date it to be able to understand what I heard and who I heard it from. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5 talks about, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." That word's interesting, the word knew, okay? What that word new means, it says, I know you deeply. I know your desires. I know your likes. I know your wants. I know you personally. I don't know this guy. What's your name? I don't know Scott, okay? I know Scott comes to Holy Ground Christian Academy. That's all I know about Scott. But what that word new talks about, it knows the desires of Scott. It knows Scott's parents. Okay, it says that Almighty God knows Scott, knows what Scott likes to do, know if he likes Game Boy or Xbox or whatever you young kids do nowadays. Baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, it knows his desires. And so what Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5 talks about, that word new, is yada, Y-A-D-A. It says, I know you, I know everything about you. And that's exactly a verse of scripture that we got to lock in our hearts, because God knows the individual. God knows that baby in the womb. Knows exactly everything about that baby. If you go in and read a little bit further in 4 and 5, it talks about, I have sanctified thee. Okay? Who knows what sanctification is? I know y'all been in your Bible. Anybody know sanctification? Sanctified? Sanctified or sanctification means to set something apart for a future use. And so when it says, I have sanctified thee, that means I've taken Scott right here and moved him and set him over here to be used at a later date or used during this period of time. That verse of Scripture talked about, back in the Holy of Holies, they had these little jugs, okay? And what they had these jugs for, they put water inside of them. And during times of sacrifice, during times of worship service, these big jugs were brought out with this water, okay? And it was used during the worship service during that period of time. When the worship service was over, they would pour the water out, they would take the jugs, and they would put them back into another room to be used at a later time. That's exactly what that verse of Scripture talks about, is that God knew that baby in the womb. God knows that there's something in the future to be used. He'll take that baby and use it, just in your life. You know, you guys are, some of y'all are 13, 14, you might be 17 or 18. You have no idea what the future holds for you. You have no idea. You may be saying, you know what, when I get out of here, I'm going to go to college, or I may get a job, or I may be a mechanic. I might go to UPS and work for them. I might be an IT guy and work on computers. But you know what? God could intervene and say, you know what? I got something else bigger for you, big boy. I'm going to call you to preach and be used of God, sanctified for God's glory. Ladies, you might say, you know what? I think I'm going to get married when I'm 17, 18, 19, 20. I'm going to find me a man, and we're going to settle down and have a family. And God says, you know what? I'm going to sanctify you and move you to Lincoln, Nebraska, to be a wife of a preacher somewhere. You don't know that, do you? Gentlemen, you don't know that, do you? You don't know what God's going to do in your lives and sanctify you and set you apart for a future use. I'm 54. I got saved when I was 27 over at Central Baptist Church here in Carrollton. Brother Michael White was preaching. I grew up Catholic all my life, Catholic when I was younger. I can remember going on Saturday night and going into the priest and asking the priest for forgiveness of my sins, and he'd say, okay, you need to go down and say 6 Hail Marys and 4 Our Fathers, go to the altar, and you're forgiven. And I'd get up that Saturday after I come out of the confessional booth, and I went down and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for my sins now and at the hour of my death. Amen. He'd say, okay, now 3 Our Fathers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, of all of our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And I'd say, and eventually some down the road, and that was when I was younger, and I got saved 27 years old over at Central. And then one day, Brother Michael and my father-in-law, Jay Coney, said, and I had a challenge all of my life. I said to myself, why do I have to pray to a man? And why do I got to pray to Mary when I can go directly to God Himself? And I felt like I was working all the time, working to do something and praying and working to pray to get saved. And finally the light came on in my life and said, you know what, I don't have to work to get saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. It's not my prayers. Okay? It's asking Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. It's not how many chapel services you go to. It's not how many Wednesday night services you go to. It's not taking your Bible and doing your prayer time and saying, you know what? I'm going to check off something else on my list. I did my prayer today. I went to chapel Wednesday morning. I went to service Wednesday night. I went to Sunday school this Sunday. I went to church that night. It's not your works that gets you there, guys. Ladies, it's not your works. It's your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Him and nothing else. And I finally realized that one day and when I was younger, that it wasn't by my works. God used me as a young man, a 27-year-old man, to move the gospel forward and sanctified me. And that's what it talks about here in Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5. Sanctified, to be used, to be set apart. Look at another verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10. We kind of talked about it a little bit. But Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. We just talked about it. Y'all got that one down? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. We just said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's the gift of, not of, lest any man should. Very good. Very good. And so often we recite that verse just like I did just now, but how many of you have really looked at verse number 10? Look at verse number 10, Ephesians 2 and 10. Because to me, 8 and 9 is important, but 10 is a great pro-life verse, but it also explains something about you. Look at what it says. For we are His workmanship, evolved into Christ Jesus unto good works. No, it doesn't say evolved. It says you're what? Created. We're not evolved out of a monkey. We're created unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Look at that word workmanship. Again, I don't know if you write in your Bible, but next to my Bible, the word workmanship is poema. P-O-I-E-M-A. Poema. What does that sound like? Think about it. Let me spell it. P-O-I-E-M-A. What was that? Who said that? Who said poem? Very good. You get the prize. Don't know what the prize is, but you get the prize. Poem. Exactly right. It says, we are his workmanship created unto good works. So now help me a little bit further. Put on your thinking cap. I know it's like 8:45 and you're kind of like, what am I going to do when I get out of here? What's a poem? Who can tell me what a poem is? What's a poem? Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Yes, ma'am. Very good. A story or a writing that shows emotion. Roses are red, violets are blue. I so much love you, I can't wait to see you. You boys write these silly things. You girls write these silly things. Okay, and you send them over to somebody. But what that is, it's something inside of you. Okay, just like you said, it's a story. It's something inside of you written down on paper because you might not be able to say it, but you write it on paper to give it to somebody else. That's exactly what that word workmanship is. You are God's creation. You are his story to the world. So when you say something, when you act, sometimes the way you do, you are a reflection, you are an action to the world. When somebody hears you say a bad word or when you say a bad comment or you act in a specific way in front of a bunch of people, young or old, you are a reflection of your Father, Jesus Christ. And when they see you, they see Christ through your actions, through your words, through everything you do. So remember, you are his workmanship created unto good works. My wife loves sweets. She loves sweets. And I always tell her, boy, you're your daddy's daughter. Because they'll eat a meal and they got to have that dessert right next to them. They love sweets. She is a reflection of her dad. You are a reflection of your heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Whatsoever ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Absolutely. Think about that. When you're at the house and you got the internet on and you're tempted to go to a certain site that you know you're not supposed to go to, you are a reflection, you are a workmanship of God. When you're with a bunch of lost friends and you may be going out somewhere and maybe you're with a mixed group of Christians and non-Christians, and all of a sudden somebody says, you know what, it'd be okay if you just stuck that coffee cup in your pocket and walk out with it. You are a reflection. You are a creation. You are a workmanship of your Heavenly Father. What's your testimony like to others when you're in that group? That's what Ephesians 2 and 10 says. We are his workmanship created unto good works. Let me go on. One more point. I'm going to get into the pro-life stuff here real quick. Created unto good works. We've already talked about that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Matthew 5 and 6 talks to us about that. Real quickly, here's our mission statement. You know, everything has a mission statement. Turn to Hosea. It's in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You always hear mission statements. Big companies have mission statements. Well, our chapter here, West Georgia Right to Life, has a mission statement too, and it's in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. And let me tell you what's going on. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. And tell me if this doesn't describe a country that you may be living in today. Gave it to you right there. Tell me if this doesn't describe a country that you're living in today. Hosea 4 and 6. The main part of that verse of Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you were to get anything out of that verse of Scripture, I want you to get that part. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And here's what was going on. Here's Israel. Ready? Almighty Israel, doing great. God's been blessing them. God's been taking care of all the leaders and the priests and everybody there. And all of a sudden in Hosea 4 and 6, the people said this. It says, you know what? It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They had everything they needed. They had the oracles of God. They had the teachings of God. They had the blessings of God. But then they decided to say, you know what? Maybe it's time for us to go our own way. Maybe it's time for us to seek a different direction. Yeah, we've got the oracles of God. We've got the teachings and we've got the Old Testament doctrine. But maybe it's time for us to go a different direction and look in a different area and go a different way. What country do you think I'm talking about? America today. Think about it. Would your grandparents thought that gay rights is now legalized, marriage of same sex is now legal in 9 different states in America? Ask your grandparents. Say, do you think that would have been, do you think that would have happened in your time, in your day? There's no way. Civil unions, I think, are in 4 different states now. Same sex marriage are in 9 different states now. Bible reading. You guys, you're blessed to be able to read your Bible in your school because a lot of schools, you can't do that anymore. Or it'd have to be an off-site meeting. Or it'd have to be a Bible study brought about by students and not by teachers. And so you're blessed. And that's exactly what was going on during this period of time, is that people were saying, we want to go our own way. We want to go our own direction. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They had everything they needed, but they went a different way. They went against the teachings of God, against the oracles of God, against the teachings, and they went their own different direction. But here's the sad part, and this is where it hits your generation right here. You guys. My generation, Greg's generation. I don't know, are you a baby boomer? You're not a baby boomer. You're close. I'm a baby boomer. Okay, baby boomers is those that were born from 1964, from 1956, I think, to 1964, somewhere in that area, those were that baby boomer age, they call it, or maybe 40s. It was mid-40s to about 64. It was called the baby boomer age. And that's what we're in, our category. This doesn't affect us now because I think we're over the edge. But this is going to affect you guys right here. And this is what it talks about here. Look at that last part of verse number 6. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. And this is where it affects you guys. Because, see, with everything coming down now, with the current administration the way it is, I won't get politics, too political, but with the current administration the way it is now, things are moving so fast left of center. America's lost their challenge. America's lost their visions. They've gone a different direction. And so now, God said to Hosea, and Hosea preached to the people of Israel, you know what? Hosea, I've forgotten your generation, but now I'm going to affect your children's generation. This generation right here, God's basically saying, you know what? I've got to turn my head away from America. And that's what's going on right now. And it's a scary thing that God's basically closing the shade on America and saying, you know what? You've decided to go your own way. You've got all your technologies. You've gone against the principles and gospel teachings. I'm going to affect and forget the children of Israel as well as the children of America. And so we see that in Hosea 4 and 6. Several generations, not just that generation, but generation past, God has forgotten. And so you see what's going on in America today and how it's a challenge to us. How can you make a difference? How can you make a difference? 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray, shall seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from them. I think I paraphrased that last part. It says, go out and pray. And not just a, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. And not just a prayer. That word pray, when you see, and you've seen that verse of Scripture a lot on these cards across the county, people have them in their yards, it talks about a fervent prayer. It talks about when I play hide-and-go-seek with my 2 grandkids, and we're playing, and we're running around the house, and we're hiding, and I run outside, and they come looking for me, and they say, Papa, Papa, where are you at? Where are you at? Papa. Fervently looking for me, trying to look under everything to find me. That's exactly what he talks about in prayer. He says our prayer's got to be fervent. It's got to become active. You can be active as well. You can be active as well. How can you get involved? You say, I think a couple of the girls came up to me and said, we want to get involved. How can we get involved? Well, the Pregnancy Resource Center here in town. We work close with them. We don't work exactly with them. We give them a lot of information. Okay, that they can take and use to talk to their people about. You can become active by being a witness to others. Some of you that are older, you juniors and seniors, sophomore juniors and seniors, you can get involved by being an active person in your religious beliefs, in your convictions. You could be that voice that I talked about a little while ago. Reach out to them as well. What about sending a text? You guys are all into this texting and Facebook and all this other stuff. Why not be proactive, pro-life with Facebook? I got a bunch of information on that table there. I'm sure you've heard it out of the pulpit here. Why can't you, on your Facebook page where you've got 6,432 friends, why can't you send out a blip that says to your friends, you know what? I'm for pro-life. I'm for saving the baby in that womb. Amen? Why can't you? You could be more active than I can. I don't have Facebook. I have time for Facebook. I have barely enough time to do my own work. But you could be proactive in your Facebook that sends out information about pro-life. You can talk about the most dangerous place in America is in the womb of the mother and put Hosea chapter 4 and 6, or you can put 1 Jeremiah 4 and 5. You could be as active, if not more active, than people like myself because you're touching this broader group of people that I could never touch. Your friends are going to listen to what you guys say more than what they're going to hear from this old fat, bald preacher. Okay? They can hear what you can say and tell others about it. So you can be active through texting, through Facebook. Let me see. Involved in a political party. I'm also involved with the Republican Party here in town. You can be involved with standing up for the group of people that stand up for rights and be involved as well. Become educated. We got a questionnaire we're going to go through real quickly. Brother Greg's going to hand them out to you guys. Here, I can do this side, Greg, if you want. You can do that side. Here's just a... I think we had enough for everybody. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to pass them down the line here. Just take one and pass it. If we don't have enough here, look and talk to your buddy next to you. Okay? Look around with the person next to you. Just a couple quick questions. We already talked about some of this stuff already. So see how well you remember. See if you took good notes. Okay? Just take one and pass it down. See if we got enough. I think we do. If we don't, just look down with your neighbor next to you. Okay? Just some general information. You can take these afterwards. Take them with you. I don't think I got that side, Greg. Everybody got one? Yeah, Brother Greg's going to walk down that side if anybody I missed. And get one? Here you go, pal. And then over there, too, Greg. All right. These are just some general questions to help you understand exactly what we're talking about because I gave you a lot of information real quick. All right, the first question. How well do you know life issues? How well do you know life issues? Abortion is legal all 9 months of pregnancy. True or false? True. Remember I told you at the beginning? Remember I said partial birth abortion? You can have an abortion up to the 9th month, the last day, the last second. It's true. It's legal. Remember that verse? Remember that law that I told you about, Doe versus Bolton? Doe versus Bolton, 1973, said you can have an abortion all 9 months. Next one, since 1973, Roe v. Wade, there have been how many? 53 million. We're thinking that the number is going to be close to 55 come next year. The amount of your dollars spent on performing first trimester abortion. First trimester is the first 3 months since 1973. Take a guess. What do you think? How many dollars have been spent? $487 million since 1973 have been spent on abortion. When a lady goes in and has an abortion at a Planned Parenthood facility, Planned Parenthood, you've heard of Planned Parenthood, it's an organization that the government gives money to. Every time you buy a Snickers candy bar and you pay 3 cents tax or 2 cents tax, whatever it is, those tax dollars are given by the government to help fund Planned Parenthood. Your tax dollars, last year I think they received $380 million of tax dollars from the federal government was given to Planned Parenthood. And what Planned Parenthood does is they work with women on other things, but they also are the largest provider of abortions across the country. Planned Parenthood, like I said, they go in and have they have a lady that wants to have an abortion, they'll go in and try to have it and have it. What do you think a cost would be of a first trimester, that's the first 3 months, a lady's pregnant, she wants to have an abortion, it's not fitting in her lifestyle, she wants to go a different direction. What do you think that cost? Take a guess. How much? $374. That's the price of a baby. That's the price that a lady is putting on a baby's life. $374 for what they call the first trimester or the first 3 months of pregnancy. That's what they charge on an average across the country. Babies aborted since 1973 is 46 times those killed in all the wars and conflicts in America since 1973. In all the wars and conflicts, there's been about 1.1 million babies aborted, 1.1 million people killed through wars, conflicts. Babies aborted since that time is 46 times that amount. In the 1 hour that we're in here, let me kind of give you an illustration. In the 1 hour that we're in here, say we're in here an hour, say we start at 8:15, we get out of here by 9:15, how many babies do you think would have been aborted in that 1 hour? 150 babies. Just in that 1 hour that we've been sitting in here, there would have been 150 babies aborted across the country in America just in the 1 hour that we're in here. I think some of y'all picked up when you were walking in. I think I gave you some. Some of y'all got them. I got them out on the table if you want to get those. But look at that. That's a 12-week-old baby right there. That right there, there's some on the table if you want to get when you walk out. That right there is a 12-week-old baby inside the womb. 12 weeks. Look at it. It's got its ears. It's got its eyes. It's got its nose, its mouth, its hands, its feet. The only thing it really needs right now is just time to grow, time to develop. But it's got everything it needs at that part right there. But 12% of all the abortions that occur after that size right there that you just saw. 12%. So who's good at math? Who's my mathematician? 53 million babies. What's 12% of 53 million? 10% is 5.3. So 12%, you're probably looking at 5.5 million babies. Where's that baby? Let me see that. Look at here. 5.7, somewhere around that, million babies have been aborted past this size right here. It's got its eyes, got its nose, got its feet, got its heart, got everything it needs. It just needs time to grow. Gone. Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, Kentucky. Wipe them off the map. Gone. Just like taking a nuclear bomb and dropping it right about Birmingham and just wiping everything out during that period of time. 12 weeks old. 12% of the babies have been aborted